Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, be with each of us and help us to understand the ideas which we hear and what action we ought to be taking. Guide our discernment in Jesus' name. Amen. The last broadcast was about emergency water and food. I was a little surprised at the positive comments that I received on that subject. So today, I'm going to continue with that general theme. I will talk about what physically and what materials to have on hand in a general emergency. And if you have a specific area of concern, that will be something that you will have to examine more closely yourself. Oh, for instance, your concern might be an earthquake, a tsunami, a riot, a war, chemical or a biological attack, an epidemic, storm damage, or gang activity. Or maybe it's even the 7 years of crop failure, like Joseph had in ancient Egypt. And let me add one more, that is, if money fails, like it did in Genesis 47:15. Since that time in ancient Egypt, money has repeatedly failed. Well, in the last 100 years, I would take an educated guess that there have been well over 100 countries that have printed paper currency, which today has absolutely no value because it failed. Today, more than a few people see that the United States dollar is going in that direction. Not that it will become completely worthless, but they're thinking that the U.S. dollar could lose half of its present purchasing power. Maybe a few, in a few months or a few years, something could happen. I think the real lesson here is from real history, and that is that we really want to look into a few of the situations and realize that this could really happen. Now, I've done that. I've been interested in the subject of money or international and national money, and I see that this is a likely occurrence. It's just that the question no one knows is the time frame of it. But I suspect that it will happen sooner rather than later. Today, I'm going to talk mainly about the physical needs that we just could run into, just what we ought to have on hand physically. And yet, I have to start off with that very important, the most important item, which is our relationship with God, the God of the Bible. That is the source of our creation and our life principles. After that, the next most important is water, and then food. And in extreme weather, shelter would be the next concern. But for most of the time, and for most of us, our next two concerns are going to be toilet facilities and first aid, and then shelter or warmth. Now, I have to mention that there's also people like law enforcement and military people who would say that security or defense must also be on this list. So if that's you, put it on your list. But I think that a degree of familiarity with that is something you need to have before you look at it. So let's look at the categories point by point and form our own list of physical items. But I'm going to start on a list so that you can examine the ideas. And yes, again, the first one is our relationship with God. And for that, the Bible is so good to have. It enhances and deepens our relationship with God. So have extra Bibles on hand for someone who doesn't have one. And you know that in a stressful situation, it can be pretty hard to read, maybe impossible. And in those times, we will need a song in our heart to strengthen us. So we'll want to have a book of holy songs. You could call that a hymnal on hand, because songs strengthen people. Now keep in mind for yourself and for others that after a dramatic or a painful event has taken place, that your complex, or call them critical thinking skills, that becomes difficult. And if you think about instances in the past, you will see that in the days and the weeks following some kind of a big event, that people just seem to lose the ability to have critical thinking or complex thinking. So realize that, and also realize that it can take a long time, even years, to get those critical thinking skills back. Now, we all can see that there are examples of this effect in our regular life, in our personal life, or when we have seen traumatic events in history that have happened in our own country, including things like the assassinations in the 60s of John F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King. And then we can remember other terrorist events, which would include the 9/11 event. These things, when they affect a large amount of people, that complex and critical thinking becomes difficult, sometimes impossible. So keep that in mind as you, or if you have to go through such an event. This is also called post-traumatic stress disorder. And people in the military, they're familiar with post-traumatic stress disorder. It affects a lot of people. It's trauma. So none of us are exempt from the effects of trauma in our life. And these things could happen to any one of us. It's rather common given the circumstances. So don't be surprised if any one of us has this happen. So after the spiritual needs, that relationship with God, the next is food and water. I should say water and food, because water is the most important. Now, I did speak about that in last week's broadcast, but I just will touch on it today. You need food. You need water and food to keep going so that your body will function. It doesn't do so well without food and water. Water and food. It's kind of like a car does not operate well without gasoline and a few other supplements. Cars need fuel to operate, and our bodies need water and food. So examine this area closely and decide what you want to have in your supplies. So there's the basic things of food, which are in my list. They are wheat, salt, sugar, oil, and multivitamins. And that's just kind of the basics that I think of. And a wheat grinder, oh yes. So that's the subject, very briefly, of water and food. Now, toilet facilities, that's the next thing to consider. Because when you eat and drink, you are going to need toilet facilities. And if there is a failure of our water system, our mass water delivery system, you are going to quickly need an alternative to what is your regular flush toilet. And this means you're going to need, well, something. Let's just call it an outdoor latrine, because that is probably your best answer. Initially, it's probably going to be just plain a hole in the ground. And when you consider where to put that, it has to not be near your water source. And it has to be a respectable distance away from your neighbors. And you will want a wall or some kind of a curtain around it so that you have the necessary and proper privacy. So for the latrine, the best tool for making one is a post hole digger. A post hole digger will make a hole that is small on the top and gets a lot wider at the bottom, and that is what you want. Toilet paper can go right in it, and you don't have to put any dirt in it at all. It just leave that hole for what other things you would put in it. Over that hole, you could have some kind of a covering for it, just like a piece of plywood or something. And everyone has their own idea about what is necessary and how to do it. So you'll have to examine your ideas, but be prepared to do something like that. If it ever comes to this, it is necessary. And if someone else is making that situation happen for you, then have patience with them. And what they're thinking of is probably not what you're thinking of, so have good communication for what you're thinking your need will be and the time frame that is involved in getting it all together. And you do need a pretty quick solution. Even if it's not what you really want, you do need to have a quick answer to this little problem. Okay, medical. Well, the basic thought for medical is you clean it up, you cover it up, and you let it heal. Now, there's different elements to each one of these, and that's what you will also want to think about. Sometimes it's a real, real simple thing to do, and sometimes it's pretty involved. They're all different, but just realize those principles. Clean it up, cover it up, and let it heal. And now that's if it's not just a tremendously serious problem. But we're going to make the best choices that we can in how to deal with any problem at hand. And that's what we do. You could call it doing the best you can, because that's really what it is. I'm going to talk to you about what my minimum first aid kit is, which is triple antibiotic ointment, gauze pads, 1-inch medical tape, a small Swiss Army knife, and that has tweezers and scissors, and then just a few plain old relief tablets like ibuprofen and acetaminophen and antihistamine. And don't forget a few anti-diarrheal tablets as well. So it's only a few. This is your small, easy-to-carry first aid kit. Again, it's triple antibiotic ointment, gauze pads, 1-inch medical tape, a small Swiss Army knife, and one that has tweezers and scissors on it. So, then there's those few other pills that I mentioned. Ibuprofen, acetaminophen, and antihistamine. And antidiarrheal tablets. So, that's my very minimum first aid kit. It's small and easy to carry. Very small. If you want to add a few things to it, you can. Whatever you think you need. And I would say that if I was going to add more to that, I would say a good set of pointed tweezers. Maybe a flat one too, but surely the pointed tweezers. A light, small flashlight or headlight. And a small ear loop type of breathing mask. Maybe a couple of exam gloves. And then this still makes a very small first aid kit. You can always add more items to any first aid kit. Some items that if I was going to increase it would be a mirror, a small mirror, a small magnifying glass, a space blanket, and a warm kind of a cap. Other options could be a compass or a whistle, matches, a high-calorie snack, and water. That's still a very simple, small first aid kit. But you have to figure out what makes sense to you. It can be really, really small or bigger. Just pay attention if you have any other kind of specific needs. And those include something for either an elderly person or a baby, because there are specific needs with those two groups. Now, next is shelter. If shelter is needed, of course, you're going to think about your home, and that is the right thing to do. But sometimes the people are displaced, and a shelter could be your car or a tent. Once you leave your home, you just never know what will happen. And it's pretty hard to bring your supplies with you if you don't have a house, isn't it? Yeah, it is. So try to stay in your home. That's my advice. Whenever you leave home, you leave your supplies. So there's another part, and that is you know your neighbors. Where you have lived, for better or worse, you know who your neighbors are. And that's a good thing to know. Your home is also where your family and friends will expect to be able to find you. Also, consider in your heart who you would be caring about, who would be around you that you could help. Is it somebody right nearby your home? Is it family? Or would you have to go a long distance to find somebody that you care about? It's just one of those things for you to put into the equation. Your home is an important consideration. It's where you're familiar, and home has different meanings. If you're out of your country, a home can mean your home country. If you are in a different part of the state, home can mean the city in which you live. And if you're visiting someone across town, home means your house. So all these things are how home changes, but just make this thought be for home is where your shelter and your supplies are. And that is also where your loved ones will expect to see you. Now, if there is some kind of a disaster, you and your family members couldn't make it back to your home, you should agree on some other meeting location. This is especially important if you had children in the home. But for anybody, you want to have some kind of an alternative meeting location. And maybe also have a family member or a friend that you can call, and they can relay messages if you cannot get back to your normal home. And don't despair if you can't reach someone, if you are relocated from your home, because there are amazing stories about people who find people when they thought they couldn't. They make for amazing stories. You will survive. You'll find a way, and so will they. And then you can think about the stories you each would tell each other. So, but still, you want to take those preparedness measures for those just-in-case situations. And that includes financial preparations, yeah, and food preparations. It's just the areas of concern go on and on. But if you think about what you might do for the just-in-case situation, it's always better to have a little thought beforehand. And you don't know how long it would last. It might be very brief, and it might be for an extended time. So just put that in your thinking just a little bit, because you don't know what'll happen. Besides your Bible, your water, and your food, you will also want to have a little bit of personal hygiene. Certainly a toothbrush and soap is what you'll want to have. And there's more. You know, I guess I'll talk about this just a little bit. And what if you can't bathe? Then what? We would all get used to having a society that had body odor. That's the simple part. And in the Middle Ages, that's just how life was. People did not bathe, and people had quite an odor. Oh, I shouldn't say they didn't bathe, but the records indicate that they would have a couple of baths per year. So that's almost not bathing. And another little part of it is that none of those big cities that were around in those Middle Ages, anywhere in the world, almost none of them, had a sewer system. So it's just hard to believe, but they got used to it, and you could too if you needed to. Wow. I guess people would get used to it. I've heard of people who've said that after 3 weeks, your body begins to find a level of acceptance with the smells and the sense of needing a bath and not having one. Those would be a long 3 weeks. But anyway, that's what I've heard. If we had to, that's what we would do, as unpleasant as it is even to think about. Well, we don't know what could happen, but I think just to have an idea of what we would do if, what if, that's the question. And when I look at these what ifs, it surely does not mean I'm predicting it or expecting it. I'm only saying put a little bit of thought into these areas, because they might happen. I've heard about people talk about the what-ifs just from time to time over the years, and somehow it has made such an impression on me that I have remembered bits and pieces, or a lot of bits and pieces, from over the years, and I get to pass them along to you. So, about preparedness, though, I do say it's better to have some preparedness than none at all. No matter what amount you have, something is better than nothing for preparedness. And because I know that things could happen, and they have in a historical context, lots of big bad things have happened. So that's why I talk to you about it. Now, how about tools? What kind of tools would you want to have on hand for the short term or the long term in a lights out type of event? And obviously the answer is hand tools, not electrical tools. Now, I think drills are so handy. If I could have something to recharge one little battery drill. I think that would be great because drills, they do so much. Maybe if you have that ability, you could get a little solar charger with an inverter so you could charge an inverter to 120 volts so that you could recharge your battery drill or maybe something else, whatever you think is important. So that would be great if you have enough spare money to do so. There's lots of good ideas, and you just have to choose what makes sense to you. What of these ideas are appealing? So, for hand tools, besides that basic post hole digger, which I already mentioned, I would say just have normal tools, like pliers and screwdrivers, a hammer and a saw, files and a sharpener for your saw, a file card for your files to clean them, a shovel and a mattock, an axe and a hatchet, a bow saw and a hacksaw, an egg beater type of drill with bits for metal, and a brace and bit for wood. A carpenter's saw, a square, is pretty helpful, and a couple of tape measures, that's good too. I think these are a minimum for you or for someone else to use. Other tools will also be needed, like for gardening. For gardening, what are those minimum tools? A trowel, a garden fork, and one or two hoes. And then for the garden, don't forget maybe a watering can and non-GMO seeds, because those ones will naturally reproduce and you can plant the seeds and get them to yield plants again if they are non-GMO. If you don't have the money for the hand tools, then maybe go to a thrift store or a yard sale and just find a few tools that are really cheap. They might be pretty used and they might not be. Always different, but consider that for having some of these things on hand. Another thing to have on hand is building materials. Now, that would mean, well, to me that would mean several regular size pieces of plywood. And plywood comes in for building something, or it is handy for covering a broken window. So you'll also want to have some 2x4s and 1x2s on hand. You can get any other kind of lumber you want, but to have a few pieces of lumber on hand is just really good. Another thing that you, a couple of things you would need is wire and rope and duct tape, with a variety of screws and nails. So those are a few basics, and you get to figure out what your list should really be. Another thing that if you're going to thrift stores or yard sales, you can sometime find a few clothes that you would want to have around. Certainly I think of warm clothes or coats, because if we did have that kind of an emergency, those would be very needed. And if you get them at the thrift store or the yard sales, you're not going to pay a lot of money for them, and that would be good. And then I'd say just, if you have the space, wash them and put them away for that, just in case. You might have to be doing a lot of outside work if we have one of those great big problems. So be prepared for physical work and for using hand tools. Oh, and don't overwork yourself, because that's when injuries tend to happen, when you're tired or your muscles or your joints are stressed. build up your muscles and build up your endurance. I have a funny story about that. When I was about 20, my grandmother was in her late 70s, pretty close to 80, and she was baking in the kitchen, and she asked me to take her hand, Peter, and whip up this heavy cream into whipped cream. She said, do that for the next 20 minutes. I did fine for the first fine. And the next five, the first 5 minutes went well. The next 5 minutes, well, I kept slowing down. And then she came over, noticed how slow I was going, and did the last 15 minutes at full speed. And I thought, wow, there's my grandmother with those skinny little arms. And she can do that, and I can't. And I was in reasonable shape at the time. So I just thought that was a funny story about building up our endurance and our muscles to do certain jobs. And the point is whether you're strong or not, don't stress, don't injure your body. You don't want those kind of problems. And I don't have any permanent injuries from that egg beater or anything else, but I do have a couple of little things which have been associated with stress and overuse of muscles and tendons. It happens, and I just want to caution you that in a time when we feel pressure is when we're going to be most likely to overdo the use of those muscles or tendons. So be careful that you don't overstress muscles and tendons. You know, we all have amazing grandparents. Grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents. As a group, look what they have overcame. Look what they have accomplished. And we could do that too if we had to. We could be overcomers. It's in our blood, it's in our heritage, and as a Christian tradition, we also have that tradition to overcome with righteousness, with faith and obedience to God. So, a little more talk about things to have on hand. This is just ordinary, but it's also, we don't always get the things that are ordinary, and we have to think of things in terms of an emergency to get us to actually put things together and do them. So I want to remind you that fire extinguishers are good. They can be ever so needed, and we don't know when and we don't know where. Sewing kits are good. Home canning supplies are good, and have plenty of extra lids. The jars break occasionally, so have extra of those home canning supplies, and probably have sugar on hand as well. Whatever style of canner you use, well, just be aware of it. It can be a pressure canner or a hot bath canner. You already know this, but it's just a reminder. For doctoring, get a wilderness and a military-oriented book, because you will have to assume that there will be either primitive conditions or limited options. So those two kinds of medical books help in those situations, wilderness first aid or military first aid. I wish there was a good answer for dental. Dental, I just don't have an answer. Just to keep your teeth brushed and flossed and drastically reduce your sugar consumption. Maybe rinse after you have sweets or acidic foods. Well, another one is for sick care. If you have to care for a sick or an infectious person, you have to have their own, or they have to have their own space. They have to remain isolated, and this means the caretaker also is going to remain isolated. will have to take special care of bedding and other laundry items. They have to be washed separately from the other people's. And perhaps in this case, you will need extra blankets or bedding. Let's see, for just normal times, have the extra clothing on hand, which would be include coats and hats or a stocking cap and boots. Footwear is going to be so very important, so always try to have extra. If you find any at an exceptional price, buy it. Flashlights are another valuable item. And you can expect that there will be a shortage of batteries, too. So use a low-powered flashlight whenever possible. You'll also want to go to bed early, of course. There's people who say communication devices are important, and they surely can be. But most of these communication devices use up a whole lot of batteries. And if your battery supply is limited, you might not want to be using those communication devices. Yeah, you might have to substitute something that's primitive, like a whistle. A primitive, plain old whistle. And then have your signals understood. The radios are good to hear what the news is. And you might be near a radio broadcast station, or you might be having to listen to international radio stations. And so that's just what you'll have to think about. Do you need a shortwave radio or an AM radio? Back to those flashlights. Flashlights, after you've used some pretty good the light of a flashlight, they still have voltage in them, and it's not enough for the flashlight, but it is enough for a radio. So you will want to pay attention to batteries and use them all the way up in the radios if that's what you're doing. Initial use is flashlights, and after that, keep them available for your radio. And never let any of your batteries stay in any device when they are completely drained, because this invites the battery to leak and corrode in the device. A bicycle you just might want to have on hand in case there are no other forms of transportation available, for whatever reason. But a bicycle you can always have, and then keep the tire repair kits, tube repair kits, available for that bicycle also. For security in general, well, there can be all sorts of threats. There can be human threats, or animal threats, or fire threats. But for the human and the animal, pepper spray is a pretty good option. And another one is a stout walking stick. And I don't know that there are any perfect options for that kind of security. There are just a lot of things, and you get to figure out what it is for you. Yes, and if in the beginning I said that if you were either law enforcement or military, I think you already have this area figured out. And I understand that anyone, if they're looking into this, there is a learning curve, and you have to give it some real examination to see what your position is on security or defense. Speaking of military, if you are going to think you need to deal with a nuclear problem or a chemical or biological problem, those can be pretty involved. And I think that you will want to have your own research on that. It's really quite an involved question. But if nuclear is your concern, just plain and simple, you would want to have, you know, it could be a nuclear bomb or it could be a nuclear power plant that is nearby you, or a natural disaster that would release radiation. If these are your concerns, then have potassium iodide pills available. And have plenty of them available, because it's not just for you, it's for other people. So that's my thoughts on that. One more security item is a dog. And maybe, well, you'll just have to think about this. It's something that some people can deal with and some people can't. If feeding a dog is another thing, and maybe you will just be feeding that dog the same bread you eat. I know you could have a better diet than that for the dog, but you do what you can. In an emergency situation, I don't know that there are going to be any good alternatives. But just, you do what you can. A dog is a good security item. If you don't want a dog, then you can do something that makes noise if there is an intruder or if a door is moved or opened. Well, I don't mean that conditions would ever get this bad. It's just that they could. And because it's possible, I say just give it a little bit of thought. You don't have to dwell in this area, but a little bit of thought is just fine. One of the things that I think everybody should consider is what it means to have a neighborhood watch. And I don't know what that would be, because there are so many choices. It could be a community with a fence around it. It could be a large home where you could actually have many people living there. But one of the things that just kind of makes sense is to have a night watchman. Well, not one, but two. Two night watchmen, so they can interact with each other. No answers here. It's just that you get to figure out what is sensible to you. But if, I don't know, think about it. You might be having a community group. Yeah. Sometimes people just figure that they always have to stay on guard. Everyone will approach this differently. There is no answer to that. Well, the answer is to have a righteous community with righteous behavior. And that's the answer. And where do you get that? Well, I think you get that out of a Christian doctrine and Christian founders. And that's where we get the principles of a loving and a safe society that is free, a free and open society. I think the basis of those came from a Christian foundation, and that's what our country has, a Christian foundation. There we go back to the Bible, because what is our foundation? As Christians, we think about, I think about the cornerstone, a cornerstone of Christianity is to love your neighbor. No, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, it says that in three different places in the New Testament, and it also talks about that in the Old Testament. It talks about loving your neighbor, but as yourself. But these are, I think, the basis of how our society was formed. It was formed on a Christian basis, and we carried that through into our legal system and into our social system. So I think we must remember what our roots are and really try to get in touch again with our roots, because that's how we determine how people behave, how they, where their values are. And in this case, it's fear of God. That's what keeps us, some of us, in the proper behavior. And the Bible teaching and stories are to bring glory to God, also to teach us. We read passages at different times, and they have different meanings to us at different times. I always think about one of them. I think about Joseph and the 7 years of famine and the 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. I think about that because of my preparedness thinking. And that just is something which could happen again, I think. We have principles that are all biblical principles, and we do better if we pay attention to them. And one of them I think of also is the 6 years of harvesting followed by 1 year to let the soil rest. And we pretty much haven't done any of that in our nation. So these things may have an effect on us, and they may not. But a little bit of thought and a little bit of prevention can save us a whole lot of trouble down the line. There's not answers, there's just ideas, and you get to see if they apply to you or not. In life, we have choices. We have choices, and God gives us free will to choose our own path. And a part of that we have choices includes the consequences of our choice. We get consequences for everything we choose, and we would do well to just remember that and consider it. I think of those proverbs that tell us to look ahead. That's what the wise man does. The wise man looks ahead, and he foresees, or he sees danger or evil, and then he avoids it. So I think that's something we're supposed to do too. It's a lesson. Another one of the lessons in Proverbs 30:25 is about the ants. And he says, the ants in the summer, they prepare for the winter. And so there's another lesson I think is good. Preparedness. It's a repeated lesson in the Bible. It's done in different ways. And we get to figure out what it means and how to do it. Yeah, that's what I think anyway. So I think if we do it as an individual, that's good. And if we do it as a community, that's even better, because some people will think of one thing and other people will think of another. And then we get to help each other. That's what a community does. And the Bible does tell us, there's a bunch of things the Bible tells us. I'm thinking right now about 2 Thessalonians in the first, like, 3 verse chapter. And it says that if a man shall not work, he shall not eat. So, but there's also charity in the Bible, and don't forget that. There's plenty of charity. These are just things that we get to consider as we make our choices and go through life. I do think our roots are important. Look at our foundation. I like a couple of quotes very much, and one of them shows the character in the nation. One was from John Adams, and he said, "Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the governing of any other." And then there's Thomas Jefferson, who said, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that our God is a just God, and his justice cannot sleep forever." And that makes me think of Jonathan Cahn. He wrote that book, The Harbinger, and talks about the patterns of warnings that God gave to the nation of ancient Israel. That was before he allowed judgment to fall upon that nation. And Jonathan Cahn talks about these same kind of conditions as existing in the United States. He gives some really good examples of it. And I think that we would do well to look at the historical patterns of what happened before crises and calamity befell ancient Egypt, ancient Israel. Well, Egypt too, but I'm really thinking of ancient Israel because that's where the signs were that Jonathan Cahn in the Harbinger talks about. Paying attention to historical patterns is good, and also recognizing that God watches over his people. That's good too. But I still think it's good to have some supplies. Because that's what they did in the Old Testament too, and the New Testament. People had supplies of food, especially to eat, and sometimes other things as well. I think of the Christian traditions and how our traditions are about being independent and self-sufficient. And in addition to that, we help other people. That's what America has done for so long. America has helped people. That's just, I think of it as a foundation part of America. It's fundamental to our nature is to help other people. But I say, to be in a position where you can help other people, you have to have something to help them with. And that means you have to have extra. And that's what I call a storehouse. You have a storehouse so that you can give your extra things to other people who are in need. So while things are good, the idea of hope is great. Hope in Jesus Christ. And that's what I think about that. The expectations we have are all different. We all have a different understanding about what to do for ourselves and for other people and how to help people. And it starts someplace, and that's what we have to do. We are living in a time where there's all sorts of things going on, and we have to keep our orientation true and faithful to God. I wasn't going to talk about any current events on this one, but I think I will, just for a couple of minutes. There are people today who are talking about our president as having committed treason. And, you know, that's a pretty big thing to say, treason, because that's one of the few constitutional items where the penalty for treason is death. There's not many other things which talk about the penalty of death. But treason is one of them, and people today are accusing our president of treason. Pretty serious, huh? There is political opposition in the world we live in. That's normal. Don't be surprised at that. But to this extent, now I think that is something we just could pay attention to realize it's the time of the signs. The sign of the times. So just recognize that there are things going on that we can view as indicators that our stability might be slipping away. There's individuals high up in government who seem to oppose the principles of our United States government. It's not a good thing to have a house divided, and that is certainly what we seem to be having. We have different interests competing for power right within our government, our high-up government structure. And we don't know what will happen, where the balance will turn to. Because there's a struggle going on right now for power. in the highest levels of our government, in those respected institutions of national security or FBI or CIA, they are having power struggles within them. The leadership is at odds with others. And there are foreign influences going on. And while it seems right now that it's Russian influence, the Chinese influence is very, very notable within our government. It's just that it's not something that's spoken about every day. But if you look back in history, go back in the mid-90s, it was there. Go back 10 years later, it was there, and 10 years after that. You see the telltale signs. You see where the donations have been made, and they have gotten something for that. Now, I remember in the mid-90s, there was Australia requested access to our GPS satellite systems, and we said no to them because it was too sensitive to let another foreign government have that that information. And just about 10 months after that, it was Bill Clinton, he orchestrated the events so that Chinese, the communist Chinese, they got access to our global military GPS system. How did that happen? I don't know, but it seems that there were compromises along the way. Political donations, yeah, that's another part of history. But whatever you see going on today, I urge you to look a little deeper because there are problems that we have to pay attention to. And that includes 9/11, how today only 40% of our public knows that there were 3 buildings that collapsed and not 2. Amazing. And soon enough, we're going to have more information coming out about what the problems are that there could be in our society. In our government, there's an Inspector General report that's coming out next month. Let's pay attention to it and see what it means. I hope that no major events happen, but see, that's a part of knowing that they could, because there are interests that do not want information available to the public. And how do they fix that? By a distraction. They distract us with some huge, huge, big event. And it goes back to losing an ability to think rationally when a big event happens. That's just how it goes. That's human, that's the condition of our human being, our human psyche and brain. So let's remember to do what is good, to do what is right. And I know that the good things, the light of the situation, is what we want to have on everything. That the evil hates the light because the light shines upon their evil deeds. So let us be light to the world. Let us love God with and through Jesus Christ. So you can listen to this broadcast again on www.christtoday.org, and you can get my preparedness pamphlet, which is free, but just send me, please, a stamped self-addressed envelope, and I'll send it back to you. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And thank you for listening, and I appreciate everyone, and pray that you have a blessed everything. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Give me passion that pours out to air.